Hello, this is Pastor Marv Nelson, and I'll be standing in for Pastor Rock this week as we continue our journey through 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. As you know, we are walking through the 91 weeks once more, but this time through, we will focus on seeing where the Holy Spirit shows up in the entirety of Scripture. This week, we'll walk through the life of Abraham together in Genesis 12 through 24, and also read Psalm 1. As Pastor Rock set up a question for last week, we also have a question for this week. The question we will ask is, where is the foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit, and how does he show up in these familiar passages? When we read the narrative of the life of Abraham, one thing becomes painstakingly obvious. God spoke to Abraham. Over and over again, we see the phrases, "The Lord said to Abraham, and he said to him, the word of the Lord came to him, and the angel of the Lord said." God gave spoken revelation over and over again throughout these passages. As I think on that, I fear many times we look at this story and neglect to remember that God still speaks today. We may get downtrodden in the idea that God no longer speaks this way, and our souls may long for the word of the Lord to come to us in this manner. This longing is holy. This longing is precious. This longing is a beautiful longing created by the Spirit of God within us. Yet we cannot forget that God has spoken, and God is, in fact, speaking. We long for his word because his Spirit has birthed this desire within us. Psalm 1 speaks to this. The psalmist said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." When we see God speaking to Abraham, we have a spirit-birthed desire to have him speak to us as well, and we can see this fulfillment in dwelling upon the word of the Lord. The Spirit is showing up in the narrative of Abraham in the revelation that he is a speaking God. I stated before that not only has God spoken, but he is speaking. John 16:13 reminds us of this when Jesus states, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." The promise in this passage to the New Testament church is very clear. He will speak to us. He also guides us into understanding the written word. Friends, this is something that you could take to the bank. Without the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible won't make sense to us. We must invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us into all the truth. Otherwise, it will not make sense. The Spirit is also foreshadowed in the familiar story of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. When A.B. Simpson, the founder of the CMA, meditated on this story, he felt the Spirit leading him to also lay down the idols in his own life. For Abraham, this was a God-led surrender of the most prized possession that he had, his son Isaac. Isaac had become an idol in Abraham's eyes. He almost became more important than the Lord, and so the Lord was testing him. The voice of the Lord, which is also a common foreshadowing of the Spirit speaking, called Abraham to slay Isaac. We then see that Abraham does in fact muster the faith to go about doing the deed God called him to do. Yet, in God's mercy, a ram in the thicket spares Isaac, a foreshadowing of Christ being our replacement. The ram died instead of Isaac, just like Christ died instead of us. Scripture has consistently foreshadowed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is one of those moments. We see in John 16:7 through 11, and also in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, that the Spirit is the voice that now convicts us of our sins and points out our idols that must die. A.B. Simpson stated in the context of this story, "It is so blessed to have the Holy Spirit slay things. Just as the skillful surgeon, with brave heart and keen instrument, can pass between the arteries and veins with such exquisite delicacy that no fiber is severed and no injury done to a single organ. So, the blessed Holy Spirit, and he alone, can separate the evil from the good and pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now that doesn't really sound fun. It doesn't sound like something that we would rejoice in and say, blessed is the Holy Spirit who slays the idols in our lives. Because it's not comfortable. Surrender rarely is. But God calls us to see the things that need to be slayed in our lives, and also gives us the Holy Spirit who can break those things apart and kill them in our lives. We must understand that we cannot slay the idols in our lives. Friends, it is only by the Holy Spirit that you and I can allow God to slay those things. We may try to cover them up. We may try to slay them ourselves. We may try to pretend that they do not exist. But the Holy Spirit is the only one who can slay them. God was slaying the idol in the heart of Abraham, and the Spirit does the same for us today. We must ask ourselves, in the light of this revelation of the speaking Spirit, as A.B. Simpson did when he approached this lesson for himself, will we dare to die, or rather, to yield unto death, that thing in our hearts, or that idol, in our lives, our wills, which constitutes the strength of our natural life, and the axis which around our being is enfolded? Having yielded ourselves unto death, we must next believe that the Holy Ghost undertakes the work and really accomplishes it. He is the one who takes on the work and actually gets it accomplished. This brings me to my final point, which comes from Psalm 1. It's not a coincidence that they match up so well together. If the Holy Spirit is the one who undertakes the work, how do we yield? How do we go about this uncomfortable surrender? Remember, Psalm 1 states, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." It then goes on to say, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither." The Spirit has most often been described by either fire or water. Here we see that the person who dwells on the Word is a person who is planted by the streams of the Spirit. That person who is soaking in the richness of the Spirit will produce fruit, and it will not wither. You see, my friends, it is the Holy Spirit who brings about the production of fruit in our lives. That's why in Galatians it's called the fruit of the Spirit. These things that you and I cannot conjure up in our own power, the Spirit brings about. And he brings those things about in our lives because we are surrendered to the Word. We are reading the Word. We are meditating on the Word day and night. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the revelation, guides us into understanding what the Spirit is actually saying through the Scriptures. And then we are soaking in the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit. This soaking is a soaking in the Word and in the presence of the stream that we can yield the things that are in our lives that need to die. The stream is revealed, and it flows from the Word. Abraham spent time with the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord and obeyed time and time again. We too must spend time with him. Have the Spirit guide us in the truth of his Word, and then yield to the Spirit-enabled ability to obey his Word. Are we willing to lay down the things that need to be laid down in order for the Holy Spirit to slay them in our lives? Are we willing to allow the Spirit to point out those things that must die? I hope that we can come to the place where we say yes, because we're soaking in the Word and we're soaking in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the streams of water are filling us with the ability to produce fruit and not wither. As we contemplate this and read about it this week, may we be open to being such a people.